You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Monday. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny as always. We are the team over at BadgersWire.com covering Wisconsin basketball and football and more Wisconsin sports that we'll get into today. Wisconsin softball, Wisconsin volleyball, both in full swing right now. The Badgers will be playing in the Elite Eight tonight against Florida. We recorded this on a Friday, so the volleyball stuff, we did not get that Saturday game in, and of course the Sunday night Florida-Ohio State game in to talk about. But Wisconsin will be playing on ESPNU tonight. Can't wait for that volleyball game. Definitely tune in. The first one that's not on ESPN3. So I'm excited for that. We're your hosts right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Badger sports. Listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You can play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Badgers. Also follow on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at ALOW_33, at Ben Z. Kenny. Ben, we also will start with a basketball transfer. Jacoby Neath is a Wisconsin Badger, and we'll get into it more, but at least some basketball content to get to. Brad gave us some, and now transfer's given us some.
Right. And an otherwise pretty slow offseason. It's been a big week for basketball news. Happy Monday, everybody. Just to plug a little bit of work, I went on Ben Stevens's Locked On Big Ten show this morning, talking all Wisconsin football spring preview, kind of the state of the program. So you could find that wherever you get your podcasts. It's also up on YouTube. Also a big spring football preview series up on Badgers Wire. The entire offense is done and previewed. I'm going through the defense as this week comes. So it's a big kind of basketball couple days. But if you're looking for your football preview, kind of way too early outlook, BadgersWire.com. Just went on Locked On Big Ten. But yeah, let's do it. Let's have a take.
Always down to shout out the network. This is the Locked On Podcast family. Go check out Locked On Big Ten. We got a ton of Locked On Big Ten individual team shows as well that you should definitely be checking out. So Wisconsin basketball lands Wake Forest transfer Jacoby Neath. Let's start with the basics. He was class of 2019. He's originally from Canada. He played a lot more in his first year than he did his second year, and there's a very simple reason for that that doesn't really involve him too much. So playing 19 minutes a game his first year at Wake, 2019 to 20. Last year, played under 16 minutes a game. New coach. The coach that recruited him, Danny Manning, left Wake Forest, was let go, and with a new coach coming in that didn't recruit Neath, he didn't exactly find the same level of productivity, opportunity, and it makes sense as to why. New coaches, new system, new plan. Coach wanted to play and win with his guys, maybe. But the Toronto, Ontario native is a 6'3", 200-pound combo guard that can bang out, really athletic player. Struggled from three in last year's season, but was great from three in 2019 to 20. 48% from three, in fact, on limited attempts. But last year, only shot 22% from three. Really struggled from the field. Just didn't have it. And I think that he'll get some of it back with a new system, a new program. Turnover issues, also a problem for him. Averaged nearly two turnovers a game in both of his seasons. A little bit wild with the basketball sometimes, but can make a highlight pass or two. Overall, he has to find his jumper again. He has to limit the turnovers. But I think a new system for a guy like this that really struggled under a coach that didn't recruit him is a perfect opportunity. He also, just athletically, has the highest ceiling of a guard on this team, probably not named Jonathan Davis, I would say, personally.
Yeah, from the limited time I've seen him, I completely agree. When you kind of put into context what last season was like for him, so he entered the transfer portal after Danny Manning left Wake Forest, Danny Manning being the coach who recruited him there. He entered the transfer portal, decided to come back to Wake Forest under new head coach Steve Forbes, and then COVID struck. So this was a Wake Forest team last year that had a really bad COVID outbreak, a lot of disruptions, weren't that good of a team. But when you think about it, the adversity that he went through coming back to Wake Forest under a new regime and not really getting that rhythm, I think last year, you know, could be more of an anomaly. Now, he also obviously has a lot to prove, hasn't played that much in college, but he went through a lot last year. And I think this new setting for him entering Wisconsin will be good for his game.
I think last year was probably an anomaly. I think that playing under a coach that didn't recruit you is a really hard thing to do in college basketball because it's not like the NBA where it's a players' league. The players kind of decide things. If you're good, you play. It doesn't really matter. You don't really unless you're like a real fringe NBA guy, you don't really fall out or in with certain coaches the way you do in college basketball, because, and that's not necessarily true in terms of like your playing time, but you won't just be cut or let go if you're a really good NBA player. Like, it doesn't really matter what coach you're playing for. You're going to find time in any situation. Then, like I said, there are those fringe guys, but college is different. Very different. Like, it's not just about your talent or your potential. And some schools, like a Kentucky, for example, there's games where I watch Coach Cal, especially this past year, where I'm like, this guy literally isn't trying to win the game. Like, he could care less about winning this game. He's trying to give BJ Boston, his top recruits, Terrence Clark, just time on the court, versus other schools where your ranking really doesn't mean anything. Archie Miller and Christian Lander, right? He wasn't going to let Christian Lander just go out there and make a ton of mistakes as a five-star point guard. He wanted Christian Lander on the bench because he wanted to try to win. And Christian Lander wasn't there yet. And so I just think that college basketball is such a situational thing, more than the NBA is. The NBA is situational as well, but not to this level or extent. And I think that being recruited by a guy means a ton. Like that's your guy. He's your coach. It's not as much of playing for the program usually as it is as playing for the coach in college basketball.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, you see all the time when a coach gets fired, or let's say in football, a coach leaves to go to another school. You see a lot of the people committed to that school decommit, maybe follow that coach there or find another school, where so much of it has to do with who's running the program. And that's the case in all college sports. I think for him, one of the things he struggled with has been his consistency. Apparently there have been a lot of flashes of really good basketball, really productive basketball. He struggled with consistency. I think him coming into this setting under Greg Gard, where you have that offseason to prepare, and this is a program that harps on consistency more than anything, like I see this working. I see this working. I've heard people kind of talk about him in a way, kind of doubting what he could do at Wisconsin because he kind of fell out of favor at Wake Forest. But I mean, if Greg Gard goes out to Wake Forest, Gard sees something there. And I think this pairing could end up working really well, especially given like the amount of playing time he'll get, the role he'll have.
So I like the fact that he brings something very different than a lot of other guys on this roster. I think that because he leads with athleticism, right, he can put up a poster. He's quick, shifty, bouncy. Like, that's not something you usually say when you're talking about Wisconsin's guards. And that's not exactly Chucky Hepburn or Lauren Bowman's game either. That's not what flashes about them either. So he brings some different things than those guys. He was a three-star guy, a little bit lower of a three-star than a Chucky or a Lauren was, but he also is from Canada, so you got to take that into account. Played basketball in Canada, didn't maybe play at the same exact events as them, didn't maybe get seen by as many people as them. Not sure how that went for him in the class of 2019, but the ceiling athletically is different than most of the players on this team. And that is something to me that I'm excited about. Is he ready to come in and start? Maybe. Probably not, because Brad's back. And, oh no, Brad's taking his mitt. No, easy. I don't think it's going to really matter much for him if he starts next year, because I don't think this move is for next year, like at all. Like I was saying on the Brad episode, Wisconsin's not winning games next year at a high level. It's just not going to happen. And that's okay for that year, but it's got to change pretty quick, right? It's got to change pretty quick. And a guy like Jacoby Neath, who has 3 years of eligibility and a ceiling that we can all see is higher than most, is going to be really important by year two, year three in the Badger program for him. Like, those 2 years are going to be huge. Next year, I don't think is make or break for him at all. And I don't think Wisconsin, like I said, is going to win a ton of games next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I even think even if he doesn't start, next year is huge for him, because he will have he will play a big role in what Wisconsin does. Where when he was at Wake Forest, the minutes clearly weren't there for him to find that rhythm, find that consistency. So if he starts, if he doesn't start, I mean, Greg Gard is bringing him in with those 3 years left to develop him, and he'll have a role on next year's team. Like, I think that's a given, and I think the more he plays and the more he is in the Wisconsin system and how they develop players, I think it'll really help him.
I agree with that. I think that the fit is good for him. It's also a different kind of player than Wisconsin has in this roster. I think there's some good things here, and I'm excited to see what he brings. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the place that the Locked On Podcast Network trusts for all of your sports gambling needs. Live lines. If the Los Angeles Dodgers are ever down in a game by two or three runs, even a run, although the problem with the Dodgers down by a run, Ben, is that we're still favored in situations. If the Dodgers are down, like yesterday, 5-3 in the sixth inning, and you don't slam the live line on BetOnline.ag, you are just trying to lose money. This is not gambling advice. This is just facts. You are trying to lose money. So hop on BetOnline.ag, ride some live lines in baseball with really good teams when they go down early, with good bullpens.
Not the Phillies.
It's a great strategy. I said really good teams. You didn't hear that part?
No, I said not the Phillies.
Of course. BetOnline.ag, you will get a 50% welcome bonus if you use the code LOCKEDON. 50% welcome bonus added to your first deposit. So if you put $100 in, you get $50 in bonus money, and you can ride all the live lines you want. BetOnline.ag, your place for all of your sports betting needs at the Locked On Podcast Network, 100% trust and backs. Make sure to check out Locked On Today with host Peter Bukowski. Peter is the host at Locked On Packers, and every single day he delves into the biggest sports stories in under 20 minutes, available wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Today, a part of the Locked On Podcast family. Ben, let's talk a little more basketball, and then let's get into some postseason runs, especially Wisconsin volleyball, who have advanced to the Sweet 16. We'll get into that in a sec. They beat Weber State yesterday, and they have a West Coast Conference opponent coming up. Shout out West Coast Conference. If you had that under, you probably just won.
No, you've been doing well lately.
Yeah, not a ton of West Coast talk lately. Because that rant was sort of my last straw. All right.
Right.
Back to Wisconsin basketball. I think that there's still one piece missing. There needs to be that transfer big. Has to happen. Yep. Will it suddenly make Wisconsin a top five or six Big Ten team next year? No. Will it make them a fringe tournament team? I think so. I think they have a chance at getting into the NCAA tournament with another solid big added for sure. Will they get in? I don't know. My gut says no, to be honest, just based on this roster. I'm expecting this team to be around 10th, 11th in the Big Ten, which is usually right on that fringe line. And if they get up to 9 or 8, that's where they – like, I'm expecting them to be in that 8 to 11 range. They're not one of the worst two or three teams. They're not one of the top six. They're right in that lower middle where that's right where like Indiana, Rutgers, like those teams as of last year. I think Rutgers was better than that, but they struggled a little bit. Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland, those teams that were kind of fringe most of the year. And, you know, Indiana dropped off late. Maryland and Rutgers surged late. They got in, Indiana didn't. That's kind of where I see this Wisconsin team next year.
Yeah, it'll also be a team that gets better as the year goes on, just given that's how young teams work. The first couple of weeks, there are a lot of kinks to work out. As you play more and more, the team starts playing better. I'm with you. Guard landing this transfer is big. Bringing in any kind of minutes is big for this team and a guy that has potential going forward. But I still think guards should be out there in the portal. Setting his sights a little higher, they need a big man. They are razor thin at center, power forward. They're going to need some type of big man. Or just like going to the transfer portal, setting his sights high. Because landing a guy like this is good for the program. But given what's out there in the portal this year, a record number of players, a lot of talent, I think he should still be out there setting his sights high because he could still find an impact player in the portal and one that has years left.
So Wisconsin's gotten two players in the portal. You have Isaac Lindsay, who hasn't played basketball in a couple years and isn't going to come in and be a rotation guy this year. Can he be one down the road? Absolutely. He has 4 years of eligibility left. He can absolutely be that. He's a Wisconsin native. I'm very happy that he got his opportunity at Wisconsin, but this coming year, I don't think he's a part of the equation. And you have, of course, the guy we spent the first segment talking about, Jacoby Neath. So setting your sights higher than, you know, low three stars that didn't really get a ton of run. Although, like I said, I think there's reasons, like we talked about in the first segment, that Neath is a little better than that would show you. But that's kind of the question right now with Greg Gardben, if we want to go there, and I'll go there right now. Can Wisconsin not only set their sights higher, but then win while setting their sights higher, win a battle or two? Micah Potter, I get that that's kind of the example of, yeah, Greg Gard got a really good transfer, but I think there were some factors there that you may not get with a lot of other guys. So I don't want to speculate on it at all, but anyway, point being, I think that sort of worked out perfectly. Like that was like a fall into the lap kind of situation. I think the fit was perfect coming from a Big Ten school. I just think it was a really, really good fit and worked perfectly for everyone involved. I don't think that was a really hard recruiting pitch to make. Like, I don't think that was going out and like winning some crazy battle. I really don't. But that brings us back to this question of, can Wisconsin win one of those battles? And Ben, so far, that answer is no. And there's no other way I can shake that. The answer is no. A complete 100% no. And that has to change in the next 2 years, or I'll be the first to tell you time's running out. I will.
It is no. It has been a no. You're right. They haven't won a battle. But I'll defend Greg Gard for a second. I don't see a big-time player this offseason looking at the Wisconsin program and wanting to go there. Because you see a lot of the guys in the transfer portal. One example would be Mac McClung from Texas Tech, who has 1 year left, and he'll go to another team. He'll make an impact. I don't see them this offseason wanting to go to a Wisconsin team that's in a transition, rebuilding year. But in the next 3 years.
Which is why I gave him time, which is why I'm not right. – not what I'm saying is not that right now I'm out. Like, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Fire guard, all that ridiculousness. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying we have to see that in the next 2 years, that kind of big win in a transfer portal situation or even in recruiting, but I think transfer portal is more likely.
He has to show that he could do it, because in today's college basketball world, you'll have players transfer a lot. You'll have a lot of movement. The opportunity's there, and you're going to look at other schools. Like Michigan brought in, I believe, Eli Brooks as a transfer. He played a huge role on their team. You're going to see so many other of the successful schools win transfer battles and find their success through that, as well as recruiting. So, yeah, I would give it, say, 2 to 3 years. There needs to be significant transfers that come in, or one significant transfer that makes an impact. Because as his team gets older, they're still going to need some supplementary pieces if they're going to win a Big Ten title.
I'll sum it up with this. It's not a make or break year of winning basketball games by any means. And if you think it is, you're completely wrong, in my opinion. And I'm sure we'll see people come out, because Wisconsin's not going to win a ton next year, in my opinion. It would surprise me if they did, and that'd be great if they did. I don't see this team winning a ton of games next year. No. I see them hovering a little below 500 in the Big Ten, right around there. And that probably will make some people mad who don't really understand the situation of, like, this is the rebuild year, right? Like, everyone leaves. Okay, like, that happens in college basketball sometimes. Certain programs can just retool. That's not what Wisconsin is. That's not what 99% of programs are. Like, that's okay. That's not what I'm expecting at all. But with that being said, it can't be like that for 3 years. So it has to be in the next – like going into the year after this, we should expect to be in a significantly better situation than we go into this year with. And going into the year after that, if that team in 2 years is not expected to be a top three or four Big Ten team going into the year, I got problems.
Yeah, it's all about trajectory. Because especially as a developmental program like Wisconsin is, it's about trajectory. I mean, I've said it on this podcast, I guess, a long time ago now. When Gard took over as coach, the team and the program kind of went on a slow downward trajectory as we saw Bo Ryan's players graduate and leave, which makes sense. They were great players. They were coming off those Final Four runs. Then as the Brad Davison and Demetric Trice class came seniors, we saw that trajectory rise a little bit, where they end up making that run, winning the Big Ten. And now they're kind of going back down to rebuild. We just need to see the trajectory start to go upwards.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all I'm saying. Not trying to make any headlines here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So let's get to some women's volleyball, the best team on Wisconsin's campus right now, and also some women's soccer, because they had a crazy ending in a couple Big Ten tournament games, actually, but they are headed to the Big Ten championship game. Is that correct? In the conference tournament? I believe it is.
Yes, Sunday at 11 a.m. versus Iowa.
Sunday versus Iowa. Wisconsin women's volleyball versus BYU. Oh, one of
my
favorite institutions in all of college athletics. No, I wouldn't go that far, but I don't really like BYU, and it's because of WCC ties. I just don't root for them. They're the one WCC team I just can't root for.
No, it's because Rafi. It's because Rafa Gaglione missed that kick in 20 whatever.
There are many reasons as to why I don't like BYU. What they did to Wisconsin is a
huge was on my birthday.
The fact that when I go to Pepperdine BYU games, it's 99% BYU fans really pisses me off.
Yep.
And it's not their fault. Great fans, great traveling fan base. Respect to that fan base. They are awesome and dedicated and diehard. But pretty annoying as a home team to feel like you're in a road gym. Not the best feeling in the world. And also, they are just so annoyingly consistent. Like they don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Their basketball team just doesn't really mess up. They play the right way. Mark Pope is a phenomenal coach. If you're not a fan of them, they're hard to
– BYU's on my bad side these days because of the whole Zach Wilson I don't know the word, but I'll call it stupidity.
Sure. You're back to your Justin Fields. That's the under on the Justin Fields stupidity comments. All right. We'll get to that in just a sec. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar in the game. Ben, these Built Bars are packed with tons of protein, with low sugars, 150 to 180 calories per bar, and ingredients that you can understand and read on the back, with incredible flavors that taste exactly like what the flavor says. They taste like that thing. So, for example, banana bread literally tastes like homemade banana bread. Like, I take that out of the box, and it feels like I'm eating a loaf of banana bread. You got the cheesecake. You got the coconut. You got the German double chocolate. Cherry Barcia, new flavor that I really liked. The Ben & Jerry's ode to them with the protein. So hit this up. Get a variety pack because every single flavor I've tried is great. BuiltBar.com and use our code LOCKEDON15. LOCKEDON15. LOCKED15 is the code to use for 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Get the variety pack. Trust me, I won't lead you wrong. Wisconsin women's volleyball is in the Sweet 16 after a 3-0 set win, a sweep over the Weber State Wildcats. Shout out Damian Lillard, Weber State University. Wisconsin faces BYU. This is the number one team in the country, the Wisconsin Badgers. They are undefeated on the year. Granted, they haven't played as many games nearly as they normally would, but they honestly probably would be undefeated in a normal year. We'll never really know, but they're that good. They're the clear favorites to win it all. They went to the national championship game in 2019, lost to Stanford, and most of the contributors from that team are back. You have the best setter in the country, Sydney Hill. You have Dana Retke, probably the best player in the country. One of the most explosive freshmen in the country as a hitter, Devin Robinson. This team is loaded. They're fun to watch. And my biggest complaint is that ESPN3 is not available to ESPN Plus subscribers. That is a joke.
Oh, it is so ridiculous. For ESPN Plus, all, like, you pay for hearing, I don't know, your Stephen A. Smiths just scream and your Chris Mortensons talk about Fields playing baseball, yet they don't allow us to watch actual sports that we care about.
But I want to give a shout out to Wisconsin's coverage of the radio calls for women's volleyball. John Arias does a phenomenal job on women's basketball and volleyball. And I loved listening to him on the radio yesterday over at iHeart. He does an awesome job with all these games, and he'll be calling every Wisconsin game to my knowledge. So if you can't get it on TV, I highly recommend going to the radio feed. It's a really fun sport to listen to on radio because it moves fast in game, it moves slow in terms of there's a bunch of stoppages, so you don't have to kind of just keep your mind racing. Like I know basketball on the radio can be hard for some people if you're not like a huge basketball fan, just kind of too much going on at one time. Like volleyball, there's a lot going on and then it kind of stops and you can reset and then there's a lot going on and it stops. It's a very good radio sport to listen to and John does a phenomenal job. So highly recommend tuning in for Wisconsin and BYU. I'll get the game time up in just a sec and make sure I have that information for you. And oh, they actually moved it. They actually moved the game because Wisconsin was supposed to play on Sunday. But if you know anything about BYU, BYU is not allowed to play sporting events, and respect to them, they don't do it. It's religious. They don't play sporting events on Sundays. So this game was moved to April 17th. That is Saturday, April 17th at 7 p.m. It was supposed to be on Sunday, moved to Saturday, April 17th, 7 p.m. 16-0 Badgers put their undefeated record on the line in the NCAA Sweet 16 on ESPN3, but also on WIBA 1310 AM. Ben, have you watched? Did you watch the run last or in 2019 at all?
No, I did not.
You're ridiculous. You missed probably the best tournament run I've seen as a Wisconsin student. Easily. We saw one win in basketball, easily.
Yeah. No, I did not. But what I have been watching this last week has been probably the other most electric sport on campus right now, minus women's hockey, who obviously won the Natty. The women's soccer team is going to the Big Ten Chip on Sunday. Asher, I'm going to try a little play-by-play for a second because the end of this game was pure insanity.
Are you talking about the Rutgers game?
From last night, the Rutgers game.
Got it. So Wisconsin, yep, beat Rutgers 2-1 to head to the Big Ten championship game. That is on Sunday on the Big Ten Network at 11 a.m. I'll be tuning in. But, yeah, Ben, go ahead.
So they were tied 1-1 with 17 minutes left in the second half. And Rutgers advances the ball. They have a free one-on-one goalie. I don't know what the soccer term is, but it's a breakaway. The shot goes, and it hits one post, hits the other post, bounces out. The ball just starts getting bounced around in every way and bobbled. Somehow, never goes in the net. Wisconsin comes back, I believe, 6 minutes later, cross in, goal, game over. They go to the Big Ten title. I believe it's their first in, I don't know, 7-8 years?
Yeah, they had Rose Lavelle, and I think that was the last team. I want to say that was the last team to win it. They've been really good, though. When I've been here, they've been really good. I've called a ton of their games. They've been almost always at the top of the conference. The men's team has struggled a little bit in the last few years, but the women's team has basically always been phenomenal. Wisconsin 2, Rutgers 1 sends them to the championship game on Sunday on the Big Ten Network. Volleyball and soccer all happening this weekend. Volleyball on Saturday, soccer on Sunday. Tune in, as always, on Wisconsin.